Welcome to the New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, the New Mind Creator. Today, I'll be interviewing Dr. David Billstrom. Please make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll receive alerts when new episodes are available on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, please leave me a 5-stars review on iTunes or Spotify. Dr. David, I know you've been a practicing physician for over 35 years. When did you begin to concentrate on autoimmune diseases, or did you begin that way?
Well, actually, I began as a physical medicine and rehabilitation specialist, and my subspecialty was actually spinal cord injury. So everybody that I saw was either paralyzed from the waist down or the neck down, and they have very complicated situations going on, and it really taught me the gaps in treating chronic health issues. It's just not a medicine or a surgery for everything. And oh my gosh, there's a lot of gaps. And it really started me on this multi-decade journey to find out, so what is out there that can help people with complicated health issues that I just didn't learn in the more traditional training? And that led me to medical acupuncture, trained out of UCLA, that led me to integrative medicine, that led me to functional medicine. And it was with that knowledge that I started seeing how you could reverse really all autoimmune disease and in a perfect world prevent it from happening in the first place. But nobody was able to find anybody to do this. And I said, okay, so somebody's got to get out there and change the way that autoimmune disease is dealt with worldwide. And I've really been doing that now for about 10 years.
You have been on this journey for over, many years now. But how would you define autoimmune disease?
So the original way we thought about autoimmune disease was that there's two parts of the immune system. One part is called the adaptive immune system. So that immune system is able to make antibodies specific to what these antibodies are going to attack. And so if a infection gets in, it's like a virus, a bacteria, something like that, we make antibodies very specific for the proteins on that bad bug so that we can send antibodies out and attack it and kill it. But it can get confused, and we can start making antibodies that actually attack our own immune system, our own body parts. So kind of the classic would be, let's say, like a rheumatoid arthritis where you're attacking the joints, or a Hashimoto's where you're attacking the thyroid, or multiple sclerosis where you're attacking part of the brain. But there's another part of the immune system called the innate immune system. And it turns out this is so much more important than we thought. So this part is involved in controlling inflammation. And this is where in the last like 6 to 8 years, we've realized that every chronic health issue has this immune system dysregulation component. So things like heart attacks and strokes and Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and dementia, all these kind of things, including 70% of all autism is one particular autoimmune disease. Pretty much all chronic disease involves the immune system. And we go, wow, this is even more important than we realize. And so truly, if you got excessive inflammation in some body part that is driving chronic health issues in that body part, the immune system's involved.
So the inflammation is the key to rid the body of inflammation is a key component, it sounds like.
Excessive inflammation. Body actually uses inflammation, the right amount of inflammation, as a signal to go in and fix something, build something up stronger, better. So if we exercise, let's say we may break down muscle fibers, some inflammation is generated, small amount. But then the body comes in and goes, okay, well, I'm going to build this muscle up bigger, stronger, sturdier, more endurance. But it's when you get inflammation that's excessive and it starts damaging tissue that we really start getting in trouble.
So what are some ways that the medical profession uses to reverse, and what can people who are suffering with these autoimmune diseases can practically do as far as their diet?
I think one thing to remember is the body is so smart it knows how to fix things. And if it's not fixing something, you're kind of getting stuck with a health issue. There's got to be a good reason. And so, unfortunately, the foods we tend to eat nowadays, kind of the standard American diet, they refer to as the SAD diet, creates a lot of health issues. You know, very highly processed food, no nutrient content, preservatives and artificial colors that are basically toxic to the system. And because these, you know, I don't even call them highly processed foods. I call them like food-like substances. They're not even food. They're sort of like food. But this is where you want to start going, okay, well, what kind of fuel are you putting into your body? Are you putting in, we talk about patients, how you may be a Ferrari and we expect Ferrari-like performance from you, but you're putting gasoline in your tank for your riding lawnmower. You're not going to get the kind of performance that you're able. So you got to put a high quality fuel. So this is where, ideally non-GMO organic foods, a lot of fruits and vegetables and, meats and beans and nuts, real food goes a long way to giving the body that fuel it needs to really turn things around and stay healthy in the first place.
And I guess this also goes along with helping preventing these autoimmune diseases as well, the diet.
Right from the get-go. And this is where, the things that happen during pregnancy, as the baby's developing, sets this tone for their entire life. Things that happen early, the first year or three of life, set the tone. Thus, things like breastfeeding is so important. When certain foods like grains and cow's milk, dairy might be introduced into the system, it's very important to set the system early. But with the body being so smart and the brain being so smart on how to fix stuff, even if you have a well-developed chronic health issue that's been around for decades, your body's ready to heal. Shifting what you eat is a big part, but one of the major central mechanism is really the gut. And when the gut gets disrupted, it becomes leaky. You hear a lot about leaky gut. The more scientific term is intestinal permeability disorder. That's a real big driver of gut disruption, inflammation all over the body, but also people start developing sensitivities to certain food proteins. And these food proteins start creating inflammation in the body, but they're called delayed hypersensitivity reactions because you eat a certain food protein. It might not make you feel sick right away, so you really don't think it's bugging you. But then days later, or up to even a month later, those proteins are still circulating in your body a month after you've consumed it. It whacks you with inflammation. And because you don't know it's bothering you because it doesn't bug you right away, it's the more that's delayed, you keep eating it. And you might be thinking this is a good food. So cauliflower, broccoli, you go, wow, these things are great. Well, they're great unless they're whacking you in a sneaky way. Inflammation builds. And you're actually potentially eating foods that you think are going to be healthy for you. And they might be for most people, but they're actually creating issues.
How much exercise should we get on a daily basis?
The body loves if we keep moving. And so what we're finding is, we used to kind of think more aggressive exercise, the cardiovascular stuff. Well, you really got to do this cardiovascular 30 minutes, five times a week if you're going to get benefit. Well, it really turns out the body, once again, is so smart. It doesn't really require that kind of aggressiveness. As long as we keep moving, that's what's going to be important. So you hear a lot of people talk about, and we have taught patients this for years, 10,000 steps a day. That's going to help you a lot, including decrease your risk of Alzheimer's by 51%, cut your risk in half. But then more and more data has come out. Well, really just like 600, 1,500 steps a day, it has a benefit. And then for every like 300 to 400 steps above that, each increment, more and more benefit. So even 10,000 steps a day isn't required as long as you just keep moving, and the body really responds to that.
You're also an advocate for, as you all treat through medicine, you're also an advocate for mental health treatment along with it.
So this is where, the body may, typically what the brain will say is, hey, body, don't drag me into your mess. The brain always gets dragged into the mess. And part of that involvement is the gut is such a central mechanism, always involved in any chronic health issue. But then the brain gets dragged in, because when you get a leaky gut, there's things in the gut that should go in the toilet when you have bowel movements, but instead they leak into the bloodstream. Could be toxins, could be bad bugs from the gut. One is called adenoviruses, bad one. It gets in the bloodstream. Well, that leaky gut creates so much inflammation around the body, it actually creates a leaky brain. That blood-brain barrier that separates the bloodstream from the brain, because there's definitely things that might get into the bloodstream that you do not need in the brain, infections, toxins, whatnot. Actually, the brain gets leaky and toxic things get into the brain, and the brain starts getting dragged down right along with every other body part.
Is there anything a person can do to help cleanse their gut?
Yeah, so a big central mechanism is the mix of the good, bad bugs in the gut. And so you hear things like the intestinal microbiome, the mix of the good, bad bugs in the gut. And that's very important for gut health. But the intestinal microbiome, when it's thrown off, it creates a disrupted microbiome in every other body part. And so this is where you hear things like the intestinal microbiome breast axis. Bad bugs can get from the gut into the bloodstream, go to the breast, and increase breast cancer risk. You hear things like the intestinal microbiome beta islet cell axis. So the cells in the pancreas that make insulin get beat up and start making insulin. Here comes type 1 diabetes because of what's going on with the intestinal microbiome. But also that intestinal microbiome has an impact on the brain. We used to think the brain was sterile, no bugs, good, bad, or otherwise up there. We kind of thought that about most body parts, but it turns out every body part has its own good, bad mix, not just breast tissue, not just the cells in the pancreas that make insulin, but the brain has that same good, bad mix. And if it gets disrupted because of this leaky gut, leaky brain, you're going to start getting brain issues.
And it sounds like an important thing to do is to set the body in its optimal state with the mix of the good and bad component, to be so the body could maintain itself.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. And fortunately, because the body is so smart and the science is very clear about what we need to do to reestablish this optimal intestinal microbiome, optimal health, we're really in a position to turn everything around, including all this immune system issues. And this is where, a lot of people hear things like, oh, the gut's the second brain. There's such a strong component. So whenever we see anybody with a brain-related issue, the first thing we're thinking about is what's going on with the gut. And interestingly enough, the things that are most important for the gut health tend to be the things that are most important for the brain health, which kind of makes sense because they're so connected. So a huge disruption that has to be corrected in the gut that then turns into this huge correction everywhere is vitamin D receptors. And so most people know that vitamin D is important. Now, unfortunately, most medical people don't know where vitamin D levels have to be optimal. Most people are told, oh, you're fine, when they're really not. But every cell in the body has receptors for vitamin D, including there's so many more receptors for vitamin D in the gut than any other body part. And when they figure that out, they go, wow, vitamin D must be really important for the gut. But these vitamin D receptors become resistant, kind of like insulin receptors become resistant to insulin. And then even if you have insulin, it can't do the work, you get diabetes. So the same thing with this, you got to fix these vitamin D receptors that become resistant in the gut. And how you do that is with three things. Daily vitamin D, daily probiotics, which are basically good bacteria that are trying to build the good bacterial numbers in the gut. And the third thing is something called butyrate. Now, butyrate is made by the good bacteria in the gut. It's what they call a short-chain fatty acid. That triad really optimizes the intestinal microbiome. By doing that, it optimizes gut health. The original data from 2018 goes, wow, this is exactly what you got to do to turn around autoimmune disease. But it looks like it's such a central mechanism, it probably is going to fix everything. So 6 months later, another study came out and go, wow, this is a nuclear weapon. If you can optimize the intestinal microbiome this way by doing these things, it's a nuclear weapon against metabolic syndrome, which is weight gain, diabetes, those kind of things. And a couple of years ago, Harvard Journal of Psychiatry comes out and goes, wow, if you can optimize the intestinal microbiome this way, you can reverse major depressive disorder. And another psychiatric journal comes out like 6 months later, wow, if you can do this in the gut, this impacts personality traits. People become more outgoing and more social. Has a huge impact on the brain biochemistry when you can heal the gut like this.
When you were talking about, you know, having issues with the brain, you all look to the gut to see how that's doing. It reminded me of just this analogy that I use. When there's a leak in the house, we can mop up the water. That's the symptom. But if we don't fix the root cause, which is the pipes below the surface, we continue to get these results that we don't want.
That's a beautiful way to think of it. Yep, you got to take care of that root cause. You can't just put a bandage on something. Unfortunately, most medicines are just putting a bandage on a symptom or two, which, you know, if you can't get through your day, you can't get through your day. If you need a bandage to get through your day, you need to do it. But ideally, they should then go, okay, well, I'm getting through my day now. I've kind of reeled in this brain-related stuff that was super compromising my life. But now I'm going to do my due diligence and go back and figure out why. And then I'm going to fix the why. And then this brain thing is probably going to go away. And I don't even need the medicine anymore. And then I also have avoided the downsides of these medicines, where you tend to get one thing after another eventually, unless you do take care of that leak in the basement. Just one thing after another.
Yes. And you said daily vitamin D, probiotic, and butyric. I've never heard of butyric before.
Yeah. So it's spelled B-U-T-Y-R-A-T-E. Every medical term has a Y in it, basically. And so this butyrate is so important for the gut. It's made by the good bacteria for the gut, but it's also so important to fix the brain itself. So like if you have a stroke and you need the brain to recover, this butyrate helps brains recover. So it's really important for gut, really important for the lungs, multiple body parts. It actually prevents cancer five different ways. And the other thing that we find that is such a super central mechanism is made by the liver. The body parts make this beautiful stuff. So the liver makes something called TUDCA, capital T, UDCA. It's short for taurursodeoxycholic acid. It keeps away kidney stones, gallbladder stones, good for the gut. But it turns out to be one of these things that connects the gut and the brain. So this TUDCA is so important for gut health, but then it's so important in neuroinflammation. So if there's excessive inflammation in the nervous system, here's all the brain stuff. We're talking memory, concentration, depression, anxiety, panic attacks, migraines, seizures, bipolar, schizophrenia, autism, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, dementia, Lou Gehrig's disease, all these kind of things. If the liver can't make enough of this TUDCA, we start getting neuroinflammation. And so this is a very important one that the liver has to make to keep away this neuroinflammation. But also it's a super important one that you can use as a supplement to reverse this neuroinflammation. But also because it heals the gut, it's going to help the gut and heal the brain. But the TUDCA directly gets rid of this neuroinflammation driving all the brain stuff.
This is some fascinating discoveries over the years, and you all are really working with it. It just gives people hope as they age. They don't have to be on such a decline as far as these different things that happen.
Correct. And this is where they think this TUDCA is really going to be the answer to the epidemic that is neuroinflammation. I mean, all these young people with all this brain stuff that you didn't typically see nearly as much, all the autism, and then this whole epidemic of the Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, dementia. Holy cow. It is just so hard to keep this excessive brain inflammation away. But when you take care of the gut with that foundational triad we mentioned and with TUDCA, oh boy, it can really take care of itself better.
Do you have any members in your family who are physicians or in the healthcare?
An uncle who went into medicine. But really that's about it. He was quite a bit older than I was. And so he was already out med school residency before I got big. But yeah, I just, boy, the science behind this stuff is absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, this is revolutionary to say the least. And have you written a book?
I have written a book. I've written a textbook chapter entitled, it's a pain management textbook. They asked me to write it about managing pain in the presence of autoimmune disease. And then my book is called The Nurse Practitioner's Guide to Autoimmune Medicine, Reversing and Preventing All Autoimmune Disease.
What is your one to grow on? What valuable piece of information would you like to leave our audience with?
You know, I'd like to let people know that if you have a chronic health issue, including brain issues, your body is always trying to fix it. Your body knows how to fix it. If it can't fix it, if it seems like you're stuck with it, there's got to be a good reason. Something has gotten in the way of your body being able to fix this. The body's default mode is always to move towards wellness. It's always trying to fix something. So when you do the right testing, you figure this stuff out. And fortunately, the science is very clear where we need to look to figure out exactly what's going on for each individual. Well, then you get this thing out of the way and your body's like, all right, I can fix this now. And you can have a brain thing for 50 years. Oh my gosh, it's getting better. Your body finally was given the opportunity.
Thank you for listening to The New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, The New Mind Creator. Today's episode has been sponsored by Abundant Sports and True Serum.